The Lord Jesus bless you with his peace. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2015, and it's 3:43 a.m. Well, the Lord has a long message tonight and instruction for us, and I think the reason being is so many people are clamoring to have this relationship with him that I have, and he wants you to have this relationship. So he's going to give you an instruction tonight that I think will really clarify some things for you. So the evening began. The Lord hadn't begun a message yet, but I noticed last night when I began to share with all of you my experience with him, when I was done, he began his message. So onward and upward, I'm going to do that again. Tonight again, I was feeling like a barrier to intimacy has been brought down. I worshiped for quite some time, bringing all of you into the throne room and praying for your needs and a blessing for you. When I finally settled down and began to relax with Jesus, we were swaying gently to I Surrender All by Terry McCallman. It's interesting because I woke up singing that song, and I couldn't think of what I hadn't surrendered, but I was ready to surrender it, whatever it was. After about 5 interruptions, I finally connected with him in a beautiful, beautiful way. Again, it was his eyes looking at me with such tenderness that I could do nothing but melt. Then I began to feel very, very inebriated with his love, and I took a chance. I relaxed and I looked into his eyes for a long time, totally relaxed, totally at home. This has never happened to me before. I've always had a little apprehension, but tonight I forced myself to ignore it and just gaze into his eyes. And it reminded me of something that Ezekiel and I experienced in our first days when we were contemplating a relationship, or we knew we were called together. When Ezekiel and I realized God had brought us together, we were sitting in the back of the van that I had, an old green van with the doors open, watching the children play in a stream. And the energy between us was so sweet and deep, you could cut it with a knife. We just lingered there, hardly saying a word or making a movement for at least an hour. And we were just really aware of this sweet, sweet presence. Even today, we make reference to sitting in the back of the van. Well, that's exactly what it was like with Jesus tonight. I trusted him with who I am. I didn't recoil or try to hide because of my lowliness. I just allowed him to love me the way I am. I said to Jesus, "You know me inside out and backwards. You know all my faults and my thoughts and my shortcomings and vices. So I have no reason to shy away from looking into your eyes." And as I continued to gaze into those loving eyes, I felt so at home in his arms. Like this is so right, so natural, so completely relaxed and safe. I don't need to hide from the All-Holy One. He already knows me and my doings, and he's comfortable, relaxed, and safe in my arms, too. Wow, what a milestone that was for me. No more running, hiding, or nervousness. Just the comfort of the one who knows and loves me unconditionally. Someone I could share my frappe and biscotti with. Someone I could talk about the kids' muddy jeans with and figure out how we were going to get them back in the van without getting it dirty. Wow, what a connection and a milestone this was for me. He simply said, "I've been waiting for this for so long. Waiting for when you would accept just me, unconditionally, as your other half. Truly, your husband." And I thought to myself, I hope this won't make Ezekiel jealous. But later, when I went to take a nap, I told him, "Honey, come lay down with Jesus and I. It feels like the back of the van." He just told me to stay in that sweet place with the Lord, and he came in here to answer comments on our videos, because we only have one Mac, and now we have to share it. He knows what that feels like, because he too has experienced that gentle, familiar love with Jesus. And I realized we get a lot of flack because of what we're sharing with you. I had one guy the other day call me a wicked woman, taking all the attention from myself and playing up to the adoring crowd. I had to laugh and I thought, you really didn't get it, did you? This is about you, not me. These souls on our channel are seeing how real Jesus is and that they can have that relationship with him too. That's what we're here for, to show everyone how easy it is if you're willing to give him your whole heart and cut everything else out of your life that's empty and useless. So if any of you are adoring fans, please get your focus back. How many times do I have to tell you how wretched I am? Well, I realized in this position with the Lord what was going on. I realized, you know, prophets get a word of knowledge. They hear and see the Lord. Why can't we hear and see the Lord as in a relationship like bride and groom? John the Beloved rested his head on Jesus' heart. So why can't we? I realize the Lord loves to give a word, but he doesn't want to be seen merely as a slot machine spitting out fortune cookies. He wants us to love to be with him, not for the words that we get, but for who he is to us. And for who he is, period. So if John can do it, we can do it. Amen. At that point, I kind of ran out of things to say, and the Lord said very softly and gently, "Do you want me to speak now?" "Oh, yes, Lord, please." Well, he began, "What you've discovered tonight is the true secret of happiness. All roads lead to home, right here." He pointed to his heart. "That emptiness, that vacuum that all of you are experiencing, that intense desire for the rapture, all of you are longing for this simple, one-on-one loving relationship where we are forever together, and even at death, for those who will die, even more so. So we will never be ever separated. So we will never be separated. There may be times when you hurt me and I'm very quiet. But other than that, I need and want to be with you, accepted by you as the love of your life, someone you can trust with being relaxed and being your true self. There may be times of sacrifice when you do not hear or see me, because I'm using your suffering to help another soul. But this relationship is the God-shaped place within you. No one, no thing ever will bring satisfaction to that void that exists in your heart. That is why you are longing so much for this relationship that Claire and I have, because I made you to want it. And it is beginning to dawn on you that religion has robbed you of this precious, precious knowledge of me. Yes, this is indeed the time of the bride coming to her groom and being wed together in holy matrimony, so holy that no other human can come between you and I. This place is sacred and reserved only for you and I. Many of you have already approached me in this way, but you are still holding back because of fears. Fear of me, the mighty God. Fear of me, the judge. Fear of me, that I desire perfection from you before you dare approach me. Nothing could be further from the truth. You will never reach perfection without me. It's impossible to you. So you spend your life shunning me, avoiding me, because of these religious ideas that are lies from the devils. I'm speaking to every one of you now. You are afraid of me on some level. That's the only reason you keep your distance. It is not that I am distant, it is you who have put up walls to hide behind. Do you see how very pointless this is? Do you see that you need not fear me? The more you have been injured, the more you will fear me. You have never known unconditional love. You've never known my love that has no prerequisites before we can be this close. Everyone you've ever known had expectations about you, and sooner or later you felt like you let them down, and then you felt not good enough. Do you see? The enemy has over and over again taught you to fear intimacy because it always brings pain along with it. Pain, disappointment, failure, and back to the I'm not good enough attitude again. I am not a man that you can hide anything from me. When I come to you, I know things about you that you don't even know. And if you did know, well, you'd be horrified and would never be open to me. You'd feel so ashamed. So get over yourself and come to me without that religious spirit wagging its finger in your face, repeating, you're not worthy. Who do you think you are? You're a sinner. Look what you were thinking 10 minutes ago. He's God. He wouldn't dare talk to such as yourself. You're foolish and deceived. Because that is what is keeping you from me. Truly, this is a religious spirit. Well, Lord, what about... And he said, Jaden? I said, yes. Jaden, I love you, but you've never known real love, so you have all these fears. People have put those fears on you by rejecting you over and over again. I know who you are. I know where you stand and where you fall. But I'm here to love you into wholeness, to heal your broken heart. You don't have to be good enough for me. Am I good enough for you? Am I someone you can trust? Did you know that my name is love? Something warm and wonderful, comforting, and always there for you, no matter what? Religion has taken away the true meaning of having a relationship with me. When I called Peter, James, and John, they were my sidekicks, my buddies. I walked and talked with them. I ate with them. We slept under the stars together. I was real to them. The way I want to be real with all of you. Religion has put up walls, barriers, conditions. I never meant for that to happen. I always wanted to preserve relationship, just as I did with Adam and Eve. I always wanted friendship. I am the most misunderstood person that ever lived. Men have taken who I am and made a monster out of me. Men are the monsters full of hatred, bitterness, anger, and they projected that onto me. My nature is gentle, kind, simple, easy to be with, and the only reason my father came across the way he did was because men's sins were destroying the innocent, murdering children mercilessly, destroying families, stealing, lying, and cheating, hurting the innocent. Had they lived as I wanted them to, I never would have had to wipe them off the face of the earth. But we have a very real enemy, fallen angels. They're sickly, grotesque, gruesome, wicked, and mean, bent on hurting men and destroying the earth. And when men throw in their lot with them, then my father must step forward and be the just judge who puts a stop to injustice. That's what's facing earth right now, is judgment. But that's not my nature, nor my father's nature. We're gentle, meek, and kindly. But men would take advantage of all that if we did not punish sin and wickedness. So you see, I am not who the enemy has made me out to be most of the time. So come to me. I am meek and gentle of heart, and I will bring rest to your souls. Stop putting up screens and barriers between us. Look into my eyes without shame and see the love shining out just for you. Take a step in faith. Trust that I am who I have said I am. At that point, I was getting really droopy and my eyes were starting to close. And the Lord said, Claire, you need to lie down? I said, yes, Lord, I'm so sleepy. Well, rest with me. We will come back to this. Oh, thank you, Lord, for understanding. You are my wife. Should I not care for your needs? So that's what I did. I went and lay down and got a good nap. I had no idea this message was going to be this long. Well, an hour later, and wow, do I feel better. I wonder, if I can sit down after a nap, and here you are, why can't I just sit down and talk with you like this anytime? The Lord replied, I never said you couldn't. These are the limitations you have put on our relationship, not I. I do love it when we spend worship time together first. Oh, Lord, you know that tonight I didn't even want to come out of worship. What I know is that you need me every day, all the time, to keep that God-shaped place filled and purring. I can't believe you said that. Well, isn't that the perfect word? Now you're being silly, and they'll never believe it is truly Jesus Christ I am talking to. And you? Who do you say I am? You are the most wonderful, most charming, kindly, comfy friend I've ever had, and God to boot. I'll receive that as a kiss from my bride. So is there anything else you want to say, Lord? Indeed there is. I have waited all your life for us to be together this way. Blessed is the soul who takes up this invitation sooner than later. You have suffered so much out of ignorance and loneliness. If only we could have been together this way when you were still very little. Yes, Lord, if only. This is why I have brought you as a gift to my precious brides, so they don't have to wait but can enter in now. No more loneliness, no more aloneness in the decisions of life. I'm here at your right hand, by your side, and I will always lead you when you ask it of me. The greatest dangers to this relationship are distraction and busyness. These are the subtle tools Satan uses to slowly and ever so imperceptibly draw you away from me. He's very cautious to do it slowly so that you don't notice what's taking place. It begins with projects such as you are facing right now. Uh-oh, that would be moving an 83-year-old woman who is a hoarder with four tiny barking dogs out of the front house and other things that need to be done here on the property. Yes, you may take this as a warning. However, what you have going for you now that you didn't before was responsibility to souls who want to grow closer to me. So your motherly nature will put the stops on you before you lose what we have right now. But in the past, this is precisely how he stole you away from me. And I cried, Claire. I cried and I cried because I missed you so. My heart sank and tears welled up in my eyes when he said that. Oh, my God and my best friend, I am so deeply sorry. Yes, there is a cost, my brides. Your life will be stripped down to bare necessities and very little pleasures from the outside. This is a price you must be willing to pay. I will convict you of your curiosity and the time you take to indulge it surfing on the internet while I am at your side waiting. I will convict you of vanity, staying in front of the mirror or shopping for preparations to make you look better. I will convict you of time at a salon and even eating lunch out with a friend that has no bearing on spiritual growth for either one of you. I will convict you of spending too much time in the kitchen, the garden, and compulsive cleaning. Wow, the Lord just ran down all of my vices right there, the things that I'd been struggling with. He's talking about me. This is your guide. If you have peace and joy in what you do that is not directly related to me, then you will know I am with you in that activity. But if you feel a nagging, a tugging by your side, like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but then I am by your side, my bride, lonely for your company. And if you continue to put me off, I will cry. You won't see my tears, but you'll feel something terribly wrong inside. That terribly wrong is the sadness and grief of your God deep down in your heart. You see, I am not an easy catch, and I'm high maintenance. So if you really mean it when you say, I want that kind of relationship with Jesus, then you will have to undergo many sacrifices and streamline your time to be with me. Tell them, Claire, some of the things that you've done. Well, for instance, my basic day is picking up food for the food bank and perhaps a short trip to the store, picking up prescriptions, going to the doctor, taking the dogs and cats for a good long walk out in the pasture behind our house, dinner, dishes, and basic everyday cleaning, spending time with my husband during a meal or sharing spiritual things. All of that adds up to about 4 hours of maintenance. Then in the evenings, maybe 4 to 6 hours of correspondence with all of you, which I didn't do tonight, by the way, because I wanted to get into the message right away. Good thing I did. Correspondence with you, our helpers, and then worship and listening for the message, recording it, editing it, putting it up, which is another 4 to 5 hours or so. And in between this, I need 2 naps about 45 minutes long to rest my body because I have fibromyalgia. But with the rapture looming, I've cut out anything like repairing clothing or shopping at the thrift store or watching a movie with my husband or exercise, cooking my favorite foods. I love to bake. The Lord continued, so your life has changed considerably in the last few months. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you. I'm very happy with the schedule. There have been sacrifices, but none of them can compare to being with you, sweet Jesus. And so you see, my dear brides, there is much you will have to sacrifice if you've not already streamlined your lives. And I am giving this instruction not just for you, but for those left behind, so they will know what this kind of relationship takes. You will never, for 1 minute, regret leaving these things behind. That is so true. But as Claire stated earlier, and as I warned her, a big, time-consuming project is the perfect time for Satan to use his strategies of distraction to slowly suck the life right out of you by sliding away from me due to increased activity. So how do you handle these projects? Easy. You don't. You don't do them unless they're absolutely necessary and you keep up your daily maintenance. Believe it or not, 1 day of prayer missed is a very serious matter. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, and it begins with just 1 day at a time. The next day, something else pressing steals your prayer time. The next day, more things come up, and now you're in the habit of putting me off. And unless you take drastic measures to get back to me, it's like the tide going out. You're drawn further and further away from home, the home in your heart with me. So this is what these sacrifices look like. Happy you will be if you count them as nothing and bring your life into order, God order. It may not happen overnight, but if you work at it every day, I will be with you, helping you make the right choices. And when you slide backwards, as Claire inevitably does, I tell her, I will help you make better choices with your day tomorrow, my love. And we're back on the right track. You know, when that happened and I would backslide, I used to feel so awful. And then I'd start building this wall between us again because I had shown preference for the world and for selfish things instead of being with him. And it's not like that anymore. He immediately tells me, I'll help you make better choices with your day tomorrow. And I feel so good about that. I can come right back to him. Well, Lord, I can just hear it right now. What about people who have to work or go to school? I have no easy answer. Again, it is how badly do you want this kind of relationship? Badly enough to change your lifestyle so you have fewer bills, or relatively none at all? Is the career you are being educated for truly my will for your life, my perfect will? Or would you be happier in Africa, out in the bush, bringing souls to me? Does your work reflect your complete devotion and love for me? Or is it financial security you're living for? You see, there's no easy answer. You will get scorn and contempt from the world if you opt out of the world. Are you ready to give an answer or walk away without an answer to family and relatives who see you as being irresponsible and a loser? Or are you so in love with me that none of that even matters? Or are you willing to hurt inside and lose the support of your family and friends who draw away from you because of your foolish choices? No easy answer. I can just hear it now, Lord, but I'm married. If you are equally yoked, that will not be an impediment. But I have a good job and a great income. I've worked for this position for years and my retirement's secure. You may not be alive next week, let alone 10 years from now. What could you be doing to build up my kingdom with the skill set you have developed? Or perhaps I have a different plan, not using you in what you've cultivated, but using you in something you are totally unprepared for, so you will have to rely strictly on me to accomplish it. I want to take an aside here and just mention to you, from my experience as a nationally published nature photographer 30 years ago, Lord, you would not allow me to get near a camera after I dedicated my life to you. Yes, that's true, because you reeked of the world every time you picked up a camera, and I couldn't stand the stench. Yeah, I figured that out. In its stead, I gave you the gift of music and teaching. Oh, I love the gifts you've given me, Lord. I knew what I had created you for, my love, and I knew you would love this work, and you were willing to completely die to the past. So you came to me empty, and I filled you with my will. Oh, how many are willing to give it all up? How many? Count the cost. I'm not an easy catch. I am very high maintenance, but the benefits are out of this world. I love you, all my aspiring brides, and as you empty yourselves of yourself, I will fill you with myself. For those who would save their lives will lose them, but those who would lose them for me, well, they shall indeed save them. Go now and consider deeply the cost. I will be waiting by your side to hear your decision. You have only to ask, and I will help you. I have given you my heart, my life. I've given you my spirit. Now, what are you willing to give me? And At that point, that was the end of the message. Well, I'm going to step out here and say that if you want to serve him with your life until he takes us in the rapture, I highly recommend you join a group like Youth with a Mission or even Iris Ministries and get training. Striking out on your own is only an option if you're strongly led of the Lord and if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what your work will be. Other than that, I wouldn't strike out on my own. And just so no one freaks out, this message is not only for us right now, it is for the generations to come. Even in the millennium, this message may touch the hearts of many. So don't think for one moment that I'm saying it's going to be years before the rapture. I don't believe that. But the essence of this message is less of me, more of Jesus. Dying to what I want personally and living only for Jesus. I bless you all and pray the Lord flood you with his peace and wisdom. Amen.